We're going to start learning Masechtas Gittin, Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. We'll start with the Mishnah over there, and we'll learn about the Sugya of Tisha B'Av. We have a couple of blot over here, which discusses at length the Churban Beis Hamikdash, about what happened. This is something that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. It's supposed to be an Nesayir person to do tshuva. So the better we understand about what was the cause, perhaps we can do a proper tshuva and rectify what happened and be zeicha to see the Gerula or Shleima of Meir B'Yameinu. Zok the Mishnah. V'hoyeh sikrikon b'Yehuda v'harugei melchama. There were no sikrikon in Yehuda, Baruge Mochama, during the time of the killing of war. What is Sikrikoin? So Rashi says, look at the first Rashi, Lehoya Sikrikoin be Yehuda. Sikrikoin Ovid Kechavim Rotzeach. It's a guy who's a murderer. Shenoisin Lo Yisrael Karka. The Yid gives him his Karka. The pigeon Nafshe. Instead of him getting killed as a pigeon for his Nefesh. And he tells him, the Yid tells the guy, Sokarka zu, take this karka, Sokarka, here's your karka, va'al t'mi senyin, don't kill me. Sokarka, maybe the word sikrikoin is the similar of Sokarka. So a guy is coming to a Yid, and he's ready to kill him. So the Yid says, take my property and don't kill me. So that's what a sikrikoin is. Zok the Mishnah Baiter. So, during the time of Arugei Melchama of Yehuda, there was no Sikrikoin. And after the killings, that's where there was Sikrikoin. Ketzad, how is this so? What are we talking about? What is this Sikrikoin? So the Mishnah says, Lokach mi Sikrikoin, v'chazav lokach mi balabayis, mekhoi batal. If someone goes, you have a sikrikoin, means again that a guy took a piece of property from a Yid. The Yid gave it to him instead of giving his life over to the guy. Now someone else comes, another Yid, comes over to sikrikoin. Sikrikoin is living there for 6 months, let's say, or longer, or less, it's not relevant. And he tells the sikrikoin, I want to buy this property from you. So lokach sikrikoin, another Yid comes and buys the property from the sikrikoin. And then he goes to the original Balabayis, and Velokach in Balabayis, and also buys it from the Balabayis, says, I'm going to give you money. Mekhai batal, the sale is batal. The purchase is worthless. The Balabayis, he went, if he did it first, he went to the Balabayis and said, I want to pay you for the land that Yisikrikoin took. Vechazar Velokach Misikrikoin. And then he went to the Sikrikoin after that and gave him money, says, I want to buy it from you. Mekhaikayim, then it's a good purchase. The Mishnah goes right there. Let's do Rashi first. Rashi will help us over what's going on over here. But the second Rashi, Baruge Melchama, Melchames Titois, Shehoi Sabi Yushalayim Behuda, and Bigmar Parach Maikam, the Gemara will tell us what's going on over here of the Melchames Titois. Mekhai Bakal. So the first scenario we said, He wanted to purchase it from the Sikrikoin first, and then he went to purchase it from the Balabayis. We say the Mekach is Batal. The Aminon Meir of it. We say is that the Balabayis sold it, allowed the other person to take the property because he was scared. He didn't do it because he didn't say, okay, you can have the property. The Sikrikoin is still living on the field. He's scared if he's going to say no. The Sikrikoin said, I want to sell it to you. The Yid went over to the Sikrikoin, I want to buy it from you. The Sikrikoin says, wonderful, I'm selling it to you. So now, they're going to go to the Yid, and the Yid's going to say, no, I don't want the Sikrikoin to sell it to you. The Sikrikoin's going to come after him. So he's scared. So he didn't really want to sell it to this new person. So therefore, the sale is void. The minimum year of it. Inami. We'll talk about this. The Gemara will talk about this later. At least we have a shot of what's happening over here. Right, the Mishnah. If someone purchases a field from a man, and then he goes and purchases it from the Isha, the purchase is void. Now, what does this mean? Let's look at Rashi. Karka hay miyuchedes l'ksubas ishtei. It's something that's miyuched for a ksuba of an ishtei. Oyshe kasa b'ksubasa ayachnisisa loy shum b'ksubasa v'oyshe kein sh'ar n'chasim. The loy abdele amalein aynayach nasata b'gershim v'misa alchim v'kmin loy b'abasra. So you have, when a man gets married to an isha, there's a ksuba. The ksuba is backed by real property. Let's assume after the man dies or the man wants to divorce his wife, then the wife wants to come and collect her ksuba, and he says, I have no money, or he's not alive anymore, he has no money. All those fields that were sold in his lifetime, she can go and take it from the lekuchas. Someone else purchased it, she can still go and take it from them. So now what happens but she has a koyach to sell that right beforehand and say, I'm not going to ever come and take it from you. No matter what, I'm not going to come take it from you. So if you go to the husband first to purchase that field, and then you go to the wife to get that field, that's where it's bottle. Because she's doing it, why? Mekhoi bottle. Why is the purchase void? The Amra, nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. Because she says, I wanted to make my husband feel, you know, happy. My husband went and sold the field to this other person. So now you went, now after the sale happened, really, you go to the wife and say, oh, I want to purchase that field. Can I do it? She says, yes, because her husband already did the deal. So therefore, she doesn't want to disagree. What happens? Where does it work? The Mishnah says, "Min the Isha." If he went to the Isha first, in that case, if he went to the Isha first, the guy never went to the husband yet. He goes to the Isha first. Over there, it is a good mekach. It's a good purchase. Zum Mishnah Rishayna. This is originally what they said. Bezin Shachreim, however, after that time, Bezin came and said, "Halakeach mesikrikoin." If you purchase something from a sikrikoin, noisin le'va'olam revia, you have to go give a quarter of the sale price. You have to give it to the original person. So you weren't here. Sikrikoin is an avodas kechavim with seach. You had the goyim; they were walking around. People with the yidden were scared for their lives, and the sikrikoin, the kechavim of goy was going to kill the yid. The yid said, "Here's my take my property, so karka, so to take my field, and don't kill me." So we're talking all these cases over here of the sikrikoin is a purchase. Now, if someone else wants to come purchase from the sikrikoin, does it work or not? So initially they said that they came back and said after that if someone purchased it from a sikrikoin, you have to give the original person has to get a quarter. Now why? So Mefarshim explained because they wanted the sikrikoin, they were in Eretz Yisrael. They had a lot of land in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted Klal Yisrael to come back and purchase land. Why would I purchase land? I'm going to try to, the sikrikoins owned a lot of the land. I don't want to purchase it from them. Why? Because you're going to come back, you're going to give it to the original guy. The original guy's coming, I'm going to take it in my field, so why should I go purchase it? So they said it's going to be a good sale, it's going to be a good purchase, and it's mine, but you have to give the original person, he gets a quarter. He loses the rest of it, but at least he gets something. When do we say that that the other person is allowed to go purchase from the sikrikoin? This new person is only when it became yadon likach, that the original owner cannot buy it. He doesn't have enough money. He can't afford it. But if the original person has money to go purchase from the sikrikoin, he comes first. So you can't go in and say that you can't have a bidding war against the original owner. The original owner wants to come back and purchase his land from the sikrikoin. He's allowed to, he has first dibs on it. Rabbi Hoshe Bezin, Rabbi sat down at Bezin, Venimnu, and he came in the Paskin, Shem Shoah, Sabifnei Sikrikin, Shem Asachodesh, that if he came before the Sikrikin 12 months, Kalachodim Ligal Zacha, Avonaisin Labal of Revia. If you have that there was a year's span of time in between, then there's no more, the original owner has no more bias over it, has no more rights over it, and anyone could purchase it. But the only thing is that you have to give him a quarter.
So interesting. So, which means that the rabbis were encouraging people to buy back land in Eretz Yisrael.
Right. They say this.
So which time? What I mean, we know that the Roman Empire took hold of Eretz Yisrael. They were kind of dominating there. So. what was the motivation? Why they encouraged people to go back? I mean,
they always wanted to buy something. This is after. This is after.
The oppression was taking place.
But this was after the Harukin Malchus. That's what we said. And again, the Sikrikin, all the things the Sikrikin, you'll see the Gemara in a minute, will say they come at the din of Sikrikin, that we say of when the Mekach is good or when the Mekach is not. But that only occurred, that was the first part was when there was the killing. This is already after the killing. There's no more Muhammad. That's what you'll see in a minute. The Gemara maybe will help clarify with your question. Give it a minute. Zakti Gemara.
The Gemara.
Hashta Baruga Mahama. The Hayaba Sikrikin. Baruga Mahama Baila Geshba Sikrikin. Amar Yehuda. So the Gemara has a question. How does this make sense? During the time when there was killing of Yidden, That's what you're going to say is there was no Sikrikin. But after Meharud Mechama Ve'elach, after that's when there was. You would think it's the other way around. You would think is that while there's the killing and Klai Yisrael are scared for their lives, there's the Sikrikin, David Kechavim are going to take their land from them, and because they're scared for their lives. But after the time of the killings, why should Klai Yisrael be scared? Why should they give their land to the Sikrikin? Says Dr. Amar Yehuda, like Dino, but then Sikrikin come. It doesn't mean that the concept of Sikrikin, but Fakhet. Like Dino, but then, when the mission says, like Haya Sikrikin be Yehuda, Baruge Mechama, means that we didn't, there was no Dino of Sikrikin, that it wasn't Chal, the Mekach, when you bought it, and when there was time of Muhammad, because that's when nothing was Chal, because Hakert that was in when you were scared, and that's when he never wanted to give up his field. It's only after that maybe he wanted to give up his field. The Amar of Asi, Rasi says, Gimel Gzeiris Gozu Gzeirasa. There were three Gzeiris that they were on Klal Yisrael. Gozu Kamaisa, the first one was, Kolbloi Katul Liktilu. Whoever doesn't kill Yidden, they themselves will be killed. Mitziyasa, the middle gzera was, call the katal Ysi Arba Zuzi. Whoever kills a yid has to pay 4 zuz. Now 4 zuz was a very small amount of money, which means that the goyim were not scared to kill Klal Yisrael. So the first one was where they had a chiyuv kamat to kill Klal Yisrael, so certainly they weren't going to be scared of killing Klal Yisrael. And the second one was where they only had to pay a small fee, which again it might be worth it to go and get a feel from an ola from a yid, or otherwise kill him, because all you got to pay is 4 zuz. The Sraisa, the last one, called the Kotel Likalu. Whoever kills a Yid, they themselves will be killed. So this was finally a Xera for Klal Yisrael. Hilkach, therefore, Kamaisu Mitziyasa, the first one and the second one, Kivan Dekatli, since they were killing Klal Yisrael, Agav Einse, Gomar Makni, they gave over their field because they were forced to. They had no choice, they were going to get killed. Besraisa, Ami, but when they, so that's what you have to understand. So when it was, they were doing it, they're being forced, that's when it's not theirs anymore. It's not theirs. They didn't give it up willingly. In other words, it's not mine. Take it, it's yours. Sikrikin got possession of it. So the Sikrikin went then and sold to another yid. It's 100% a good sale. But where is it not the case in this third case, in the third exerium? Why? Because the third exerium, Bitzray Samri, her idna lishko. The third case was that Sikrikin was coming and taking his field. He says, let him take it. Let him take it. Why? Tomorrow I'm going to take him to Bethlehem. I'm going to take him to the Gaish. I'm saying, in other words, the Sikrikin again was not allowed. There was no more fear of Klal Yisrael being killed. So that's what we have. All the shailas of Sikrikin, of is it chal, is it not chal, what happens if he purchases it from the Tal Yid and the Sikrikin, like we said in the Mishnah, all this only applies after the Maruge, after Malchus Milchama, after there was no more fear of being killed anymore. So now you have a big bully, Sikrikin, a big guy, comes and says, give me your field. He says, okay, I'm not going to start up with him, he's bigger than me. So I'm not scared he's going to kill me. I don't think that I lost my field. I think I temporarily lost my field. He said, here you go, you can take my field. You're going to go the next day, and you're going to take him to Bezdin. You're going to take him to the Gaius of Dinim. So you're going to call the police on him. So he says, you're not really ever giving up your field, and because you're not really ever giving up your field, that's when it would not, the sale would not hold water, and that's when the things that we said in the Mishnah about a sale of a Sikrikin occurs.
Two things. Why would someone want to buy from the Sikrikin if you can, this in these first two Xeras, if someone goes and buys it, so another Sikrikin is going to come in and do the same thing. Or even go by bite. Let's
why would he want to bite?
It'll be forced out of his position in a week. So
well, this could be after. It could be that it came again. The Sikrikin, if it occurred, let's assume the Sikrikin came during Harib bin Muhammad. Now it's after the Muhammad. Yeah. I'm not scared anymore. Now you go to Sikrikin. The old guy is no shakers
anymore.
Why is
it not like it was stolen?
It's not because the point is that if a goy steals it and the yid is giving it away, he's giving it away happily because he's getting his life for it. It's not his anymore. He loses possession of it. If he's doing it just temporarily, that's what the Masechta Gemara is saying. If he's doing it temporarily, we are here, take it, but I'm going to go sue you tomorrow. I'm going to go call the cops on you tomorrow. So then it's a matter of years and das. And he never gave it away. In the second case, he never gave it away. In the first case, he gave it away. The guy's going to kill it. He take it. It's yours. And that's it. It's now 2 years later, you're going to come and say, no, but I never get it. It's not yours anymore.
He's saying it's a full fail. I mean, because he really...
That is correct. It's not fear. Life is not fear. You want to say, but, yeah, okay.
Right.
You're right. It's not fear. But the Maaseh, he gave it away. 100%. As opposed to these other cases where he's not really giving it away. He says, yeah, I'm giving it away today. Someone in the Chas V'Shalom comes and bangs on your door, on your house over here, and then says, get out of my house, and he's got 20 guys. You're gonna leave the house and you're gonna go to the local courts over here. You're gonna do what you have to, and you get it out. So you got someone else goes and buys this from him. You're gonna say no, but you gave it away. No, you never gave it away. But if a guy in these cases where they thought they're never getting it back, this is what the exer was: kill the Jews. I mean, you have to kill them. So that's good. Okay, now we're gonna get into the interesting Gemara about the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Amar Beichan, Ma'idach Siv. Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, praise is someone who's always worried. Mekasha Liba Yipo Bero, Makasha Liba Yipo Bero, and one who hardens his heart is going to fall upon evil. Bero, he's going to have bad things. Now there's three examples. Akamta Barkamta, Halotzak Rashi, Mefachet. Rashi is almost sideways over the Gemara. Mefachet, he's scared. Doeg Liris Hanoilid, he's worried about the future. He's always worried about the future. What happens? What if I do today something? What's going to be? What's going to happen in the future? He has his pacha. He's always worrying. You know, people don't like that. People say, we'll do whatever I want today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'll do avarice today. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to be, as opposed to someone who's worried. That's what Rashi explains the pasuk. The pasuk in Mishlei. So there's three stories. Akamta Ubar Kamta, the story of Kamta Ubar Kamta Chorv Yushalayim, that caused the Chorban Yushalayim. Atan the Goyler, Atan the Goylsa, a hen and a rooster, what happened over there? Chorv Tor Malka, the destruction of Tor Malka. Again, the Gemara will explain all these cases at length. Ashka Derisbak, the side of a carriage, Chorv Beitar. And Beitar was destroyed because of the smaisa of the Ashka the Rispa. So now let's get into the three things that the Gemara says here. Akamta bar ubar kamta, Chorv Yushalayim. What happened with kamta and bar kamta is what caused the destruction of Yushalayim. Tahu Gavra, there was a person, the Rachme kamta. He had an ohov, he had a friend. Rashi says, "Oy havoy ho yeshmoy kamsa." He had a friend, oy havoy, one who he was beloved to, that he loved as a friend, and his name was Kamsa. Ubal devave bar kamsa, and he had an enemy whose name was Bar Kamsa. Now, Rashi says, "Kamsa uvar kamsa." The second to last Rashi, "Kach shem shnei Yehudim." This is the name of two Yidden. In some Achlekes and Mefarshim, Rashi, and Ashar talks about it, and then make a dig from Rashi that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were not related. Bar Kamsa technically could mean the son of Kamsa. Does that mean that Kamsa was the father and Bar Kamsa was the son, or not? So they make a dig in Rashi that Rashi says Shnei Yehudim. He doesn't say it should say Kamsa Uverei or Avu Benoi. And even it says in the case it's Kamsa Ubar Kamsa. It doesn't say normally we say Kamsa Uverei. Kamsa and his son. So this is the story that happened. Avat Sudasa. This person, this Gavra, made a Suda. Amar Leila Shamei, he told his attendant, Zil Aisile Kamsa, go bring me Kamsa. apparently it seems that this was in the middle of the Suda. Kamsa was not at the Suda. He sent his attendant to go get Kamsa. Also, Isile Bar Kamsa. The person went, made a mistake, and got Bar Kamsa. Also, Ashkhid Abu Yosef. So this person, the Gavra, came back into the room, he walked out, or whatever it was, he comes in back into his own Suda, and who does he see sitting there? Bar Kamsa. Omalei. So this person tells Bar Kamsa, Mechtia Hu Gavra, Balde Vavada Hu Gavra, Hamai Boris Achi. Hacha. What does, he's talking about himself and Bar Kamsa. He says, there's someone here, and his enemy is here. What do you have to do over here? In other words, what in the world are you doing here? You don't belong here. You're my enemy. Kum, puk. Get up and get out. Amalei. So Bar Kamsa responded to this person. Hoyel vasoi, being that I came, shafkon, let me stay. I'm here already. I wouldn't have come maybe, but I'm here. Let me stay. And I will pay you for all the food and drink that I will have. I will pay you. Amalei, look. Person says, nope. Amalei. So Bar Kamsa tries again. Yavina loch the may palga the sudase. I'll pay for half of your entire suda at a big, big party. I'll pay for half of it. Amalei, loy. Nope. Amalei, Bar Kamsa tried the third time. Yavina loch the may kula sudase. I'll pay for your entire suda for everything over here. Amalei, loy. And the person responds, nope. Sorry, can't help you. Nakte biyode, he went with his hands, picked him up, v'oikmi, he stood him up, v'afke, and he threw him out. Omar hoya v'habiyasi rabbonan v'loi mochu be, sh'maminaka mi'chiluhu. So Bar Kamsa said, being that the chachamim and chashir people were there, and no one said anything, obviously they were masking that this should happen to me.
What should they have said?
They should have been mo'icha, they should have said, why are you throwing him out? He had a taina. Everyone was sitting there with one of his tainas. We'll discuss soon, if we have time today, if not, we'll continue on Wednesday. But what should have they taina? There's a many different mafreshim. Why didn't they say anything? It's a terrible avla. You're embarrassing him in front of everybody. They threw him out the rabbi. Why didn't they say you shouldn't do it? One shot is that they felt that, obviously they can tell that this person had a saini. Now why would anyone hate another yid? It must be that there are halachic reasons why you're allowed to hate another yid if he does things against the Rebbe. In certain scenarios, you're allowed to hate someone. So they figured that it must be that they hated them. That was one shot. Another shot, the Ben Yehuda says, is they didn't see. They probably didn't see. Sometimes when something happens to a person and they get embarrassed, you know, something happens to that person, you can be sitting in a room of 500 people and someone comes over and does something to you, and the person who's embarrassed, the person, he believes the entire world saw all 500 people. Meanwhile, no. 499 people don't even care, they're not looking, they don't care, but you, the individual, he feels embarrassment, he thinks everyone's looking. So he felt he had a kind of everyone that was there. He walked out of that Suda, but not only was he angry at the Hugavra, this person who made the Suda, he was upset every single person, including the Chacham. So therefore he had a beef, he wanted to get against everyone that was there, and that ended up meaning most of Klal Yisrael. Well, I'm not saying that most of Klal Yisrael wasn't at the party, but he had now, it wasn't one person. He had a problem with a large portion of people. So now let's just discuss a little bit about what the three things that Bar Kamsa requested. He asked, the first time he said, do me a favor, let me stay and I'll pay for my own portion. After that he came back and he said, he countered, well, I'll pay half the suda, and he countered, I'll pay for the whole suda. Well, what was the chesed? Why was he coming up with these numbers? Well, what was the chesed? I think the chesed is like this, very simple. He said, listen, why are you throwing me out? I understand. So the first thing, his first offer was, is you're throwing me out because I'm not your friend. You didn't want to pay for me. You cost the $12, $100 for my fancy suit over here. So I'll pay for it. It didn't cost you anything. That was his first offer. The Gavra said, no. He says, okay. So I can hear that you want to say is that by me being here, aside from the fact that I'm going to eat your food and drink your drinks, it takes away from your whole simcha of the party. I understand. And as I'm sitting here, it takes away. You have to see me here. I'll pay for half of your suit. Half of your suit I'll pay for. So now you're getting half of that. You're getting your 50% bonus over here. You're not even paying 50%. He says, no. He says, okay. I will pay for the entire suda. If you want, you can go make another suda. What are you going to tie in? I'm ruining your suda. I'm sitting here and I'm ruining your suda. So good, I'm going to pay for the entire thing. Don't throw me out. Don't embarrass me. And he threw him out. That was a terrible avo. And that's what God, that's what he says. That he says, oh, you see, Bakamtza was hanging on this gavra, sinas chinam. He hates me for no reason. For free. What does it mean, hating someone for free? Because he's not losing anything. Let me stay. Why do you have to embarrass me? You're saying, oh, but I'm ruining your party? I'm willing to pay for your own party. It's from Rabbi Feinstein, came here a couple of years ago. And he explained everything in Sinas Chinam, what Sinas Chinam is. He said, Sinas Chinam, this was Rabbi Feinstein saying, is, can you imagine? He says, if I hate somebody, I don't hate anybody for no reason. Chinam, I hate it for no reason, for free. If I hate someone, there's a reason for it. Why do you hate someone? They did something to you. Something happened. What does it mean by chinam? Has there ever sin as chinam? So he explains that, let's assume you have someone, you're sitting outside your front window, you're sitting by your front window and you see someone, he's wearing a mask, and you know who he is, or you don't know who he is, and he's walking up your steps, you can see he's got tools, he's going to break into your house. As he's walking up, he trips on your step, he falls down, he starts crying, and he runs away. He comes back the next day. He comes again. This time he's using his hammer. He smacks himself in the head. Again, he runs away. Happens another time. You're sitting near the window, and you're laughing at this guy. Do you hate the person? You don't hate him. Are you going to be his friend? If you know who he is, and you see him in shul, are you going to want to be buddies with him? You're not going to want to be buddies with him. But you don't hate him. You're laughing at him. Never. The poor loser can't even break into my house normally. Now what happens if Chas V'Shalom, let's assume you're not home, and he finds out he breaks in, and you know he stole your money and you can't get it back. Now you hate him. So what do you hate him for? You don't hate him for his thoughts, because when he thought in the first three cases, when he thought to break into your house, he didn't hate him. He didn't like him, he didn't hate him. So what do you hate him for? His actions. You hate him for what he was actually able to accomplish, which was stealing for you. So Reuven explains that sinas chinam is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, everyone's entitled to that thought. Rebbeinu Shel Olam allows each and every person has bechira. He can have choice. You can have choice of what I think. I want to do this. I want to do that. If Rebbeinu Shel Olam allows for this person who's sitting in his window that someone should steal from him, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam allowed that. That wasn't his choice. I can think I'm going to do an avera. I have someone to steal from someone else. If Rebbeinu Shel Olam allows me to steal from Reuven, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted allowed that Reuven should be stolen from me. Reuven had there was a reason why Reuven should lose his money. So now who is it? Sinas chinam. Why are you hating this person? Hashem shouldn't hate Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You have to do tshuva. But it's not the person that caused that. There was the person tried to do the action and his thoughts were there. But the actual pu'ul of the ma'isa, only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can allow that. And that's why when someone hates another yid, it's sinas chinam, because you shouldn't hate the person. If someone does something to us, and it's something that you would think is a reason to hate the person, we have to work on ourselves to say is, Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted this to happen. And not have a tiny on the other person. It's a hard thing to do. It's an adrega. But if you really believe that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam runs the world, and he allowed that to happen to you, that means we have to look and be introspective of what caused it. Why did Rebbeinu Shel Olam allow this person to do something bad against us? Say a quick part in the parasha. Parashas Maaseh, it talks about the Ori Miklot. And we know it's a very strange thing that how does the person in the Ori Miklot, how does he go free? He goes free only when the Kohen Gadol dies. When the Kohen Gadol dies, that's when he goes free. Now we know that the Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol's mother used to come and give food to all the people in Golos, and the people in the Ori Miklot. So they shouldn't daven that the Kohen Gadol should die, because how are they going to get free by the Kohen Gadol dying? So now, the question is aren't these people going to get food later on? The person killed the Shogi. He has a family at home. He'll get free. He'll get more than just cake and cookies and a cup of milk from the crying girl with mother. Why is this going to accomplish that he's going to say, oh, you know, I'm not going to daven for the crying girl with the mother? And the Yisrael is that it's not so much the cake and the food that she's bringing, but it's the fact that another Yid cares about another person. And if someone shows the value of life, how much a person cares about another person. She was going around. What was the point? Where was the Ari Mikla? So it's an unbelievable thing. Ari Mikla was where? In Shevet Levi. There were six Ari Mikla, six and six, but the six, they were in Shevet Levi. Why Shevet Levi? Because Shevet Levi were on a higher Madrega, and they were supposed to teach the people who killed B'Shoidik how to appreciate life, how to value life. That was their job. The Kohen Gadol's mother came and gave them food to show them, you see, I care about another Yid. And if that's done properly, where it can be given over and conveyed, how could they possibly daven that the Kohen Gadol should die? That was the whole Yisrael, that was what they're supposed to learn. They shouldn't daven that the Kohen Gadol should die. Because why? What happened with the Misa? Why are they in Golos now? Why are they in Ari Mikla? Because they didn't value life enough. A Shoyig is not Einus. Einus means someone had no way of knowing. Someone Chashon killed someone, he had no way possible to know that something would have happened, and he killed the person, then he doesn't go to Ari Mikla. It's only because he wasn't careful. He was swinging a hammer, and he wasn't looking behind him. But that means he didn't value life properly. They say, Maiseh from Rabbi Levin. He used to go to the jails in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a certain area, he would go to the jails every single week, he'd be there for Shabbos. One week he got called away, they say his daughter was deathly ill. When he came back, his daughter was still very ill. And usually they sold aliyahs for a couple of pennies, a couple of whatever it was the dollars were. And that one week they got up there and the person says, I'm willing to give away one week of my life that Rabbi Levin's daughter Sharon Fuhr Shalem. Another guy says, I'm willing to give up 2 weeks of my life. Another guy says, I'm willing to give up 5 weeks of my life. Another guy says, I'm willing to give up my entire life. I can die right now. Because what's my life worth living if Rabbi Levin has so much tsar that his daughter is sick and she's like Nebuch, so deathly ill? And they say that Rabbi Levin started crying, that he realized how much he accomplished with these Yidden who were in jail. And they say that immediately after they found out on Sunday that already that Shabbos she was ready on the way, all of a sudden had a miraculous recovery, and she was to have a refuah shleima at that point. So we have to understand the yesod of what the Ari Mikla is supposed to teach us is they're supposed to have, instead of having sinas chinam, but rather they're supposed to real value life and realize how much a person can accomplish with another person by doing a little thing, by doing a big thing, by giving cake. A person, you can say hello to a person, you can have such an impact on a person. That's something we have to try to achieve.
But the opposite is also